Sinners in the hands of a loving God. This morning I stand here to make a confession. I need to tell you that I have sinned. I have fallen short of the glory of God, of what God requires of me according to his authoritative word in Scripture. I hope that what I share with you this morning will still leave you thinking that I am redeemable. I ask that you do not judge me too harshly. I need to explain myself and to share with you how I have failed, how I have fallen. I know some of you are wondering now just what is it that I have done. Firstly, let me put your mind at ease. You need to hear that I haven't murdered anyone. I haven't sexually abused anyone, nor physically assaulted anyone. I haven't been unfaithful to my wife. I haven't committed adultery. I haven't been shoplifting or robbing banks. I haven't even been using bad language. I haven't hit the bottle or been doing drugs. Haven't even cheated on my tax return, as far as I know. No, nothing like that. In fact, by the world's standards, some would say that I haven't been too bad at all. Yet, as I said, I have sinned. I have fallen. Perhaps you have seen me as a devoutly religious person, pious, a striver for holiness and godliness. After all, I am the leader of this motley crew called Marjorie Bar Uniting. And so you look to me to set the right example. And so you should, indeed, as the scriptures say, to those who have been given much, more is expected. This morning, first up, I need to tell you that I have not prayed nearly enough. And there are too many times when my prayers have been selfish. Rather than praising and thanking God, all too often I have listed off my prayer requests to God. Too often and too quickly. Now I've been guilty of doing far too much of the talking and nowhere near enough of the listening to the voice of God. Scriptures say, "Be still and know that I am God." And there are times when I have not been anywhere near still enough. I want to confess to you also that I have not meditated upon the Word of God as deeply or as often as I ought, skimming over passages in a religious manner. But worse, not only have I failed to meditate deeply, I have failed to apply the Scriptures in my life, to my daily practice of discipleship. Possibly through my cunning, I have deceived you. I need to share with you this morning that I am a hypocrite. I stand here at this lectern week after week, calling you to give attention to the Word of God and urging you to live out that Word in your daily life, but I have not always practiced what I preached. As one who professes to follow Jesus Christ, one who has boldly declared that Jesus is Lord, and more specifically, Jesus is my Lord, perhaps it would be helpful to contrast my sin by contrasting my thoughts and actions with the words of Jesus. The one who, incidentally, the Apostle Peter says, has the words of eternal life. Jesus said the commandments could be summed up in two. Love God. Love your neighbor. He also said, love one another as I have loved you. Well, I confess to you this morning that I have failed to love Jesus as Jesus loves me. I confess that I have not always loved my neighbor, nor even my brothers and sisters in Christ, even remotely, as Jesus loves me. Jesus said, love your enemies, pray for those who hate you. I confess to you this morning that I have far more enemies than I ought. And secondly, that I have even entertained the idea of plotting evil against them. Jesus said, forgive others as God has forgiven you. And I confess to you this day that I have sometimes found that principle below me. Forgiveness does not come easily. And even when it does, unlike God, I find a certain comfort in hanging on to the grudges. Choosing to store those hurts in a secure place, but readily accessible place, should I need them for further ammunition in the future. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I confess to you this morning that I have paid lip service to those words of Jesus, when in reality, I have acted with deep pride. I have acted without sufficient humility, vainly but delusionally believing that I am in many ways my own maker, that I am the master of my own destiny. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. And last Sunday you will recall that I explained to you that it is not about carrying some rather petty burden, but that it is a call to follow Jesus to the point that we allow ourselves to be crucified with him. And I confess that I am in love with my life too much, and therefore am reluctant to put my life on the line, for Jesus Christ. Discipleship, you see, is so much more than being a passionate worshipper, a 24/7 prayer warrior, a biblical scholar, a theologian. Discipleship is actually about being in the world, serving the world, living the word of life and truth in our actions every day. It is scary, it is risky, and I confess that I am more comfortable in the security of my protected and insular existence within the church and the security of my own little world. Jesus said, do not store up treasures for yourself on earth. And I confess to you this morning that I am too much caught up in the consumerist society in which I live. Too often I fall prey to that insatiable desire to possess. I have far more than I need of just about everything, while others lack basic shelter and some starve to death for lack of daily bread. Well, that, my brothers and sisters, is my confession. There is more that I could share, but I'm sure that you already have too much to digest. I wonder, do you see yourself mirrored in what I have shared? Strangely, perhaps, I pray that you do, at least in some of those areas, for if you do not, then I am in a worse condition than I thought. Well, you might think, hey, none of that is really all that bad. You're not that much of a sinner. True, there are sins that appear worse, that have far-reaching consequences for myself and for others. But you see, if I can't keep the very first commandment or Jesus' summary of the commandments, then I have sinned regardless. Having made my admission to you this morning, it will come as no surprise to you to discover that I love this particular verse from Paul's letter to Timothy. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That is surely the best news that a sinner like me could possibly hear. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That is me. That is my verse. I thank you, Jesus. You see, I am truly redeemable. There is hope for me. I am not a lost cause. And in case you're wondering, neither are you. Neither are you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, all of us, without exception. There are some people who claim that Jesus was just a good bloke who did and said a lot of interesting things and very helpful. And they say that Jesus is the best example of a bloke who is living close to God. And if only we would model our lives on his example, if only more people in the world would try that little bit harder to imitate Jesus, then we could truly make a difference in this world, make this world a better place. Well, they're wrong. You see, this overly optimistic view, which is really a humanist position, not a Christian one, assumes too much of us. Assumes we are intrinsically good and that we are self-sufficient. And furthermore, if we try really hard, we can be as good as Jesus. Well, almost as good. The Bible also says, and the Christian faith affirms, that Jesus lived a sinless life, whereas we live sinful lives, as I have so realistically shown by my own poor example. Jesus alone, tempted as we are yet without sin, sets for us a bar which is unattainable if we seek simply to follow his example. But as the Bible also says and the Christian faith affirms, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Father, through his suffering and his death, paid the price for our sin and lifts us beyond our sin into a state of righteousness before God, which we certainly do not deserve, but which through God's amazing grace is freely offered to us. It is not so much about emulating his life of good deeds and living by his principles, but recognizing our depravity and our need, our total dependence upon him. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Jesus said, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. Isn't that one of the most thrilling sentences in all of Scripture? Only one, just one. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner who repents. And we come to our gospel message, our gospel passage this morning. Jesus told the stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin to illustrate both the joy in heaven when one who is lost is found and the length to which God goes to seek after even one sinner. Such is God's love. Such is God's heart. Such is God's grace. Such is God's mercy. It came at great, great cost for God. The sacrifice of his only begotten Son. His blood shed on the cross. As Wesley puts it so well in his grand hymn, he breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. I say it this way, a blood donor saved my life. A blood donor saved my life. And in response, my friends, I do the only thing that I can do. With awe and wonder, in contrition and with humility, I bow my head and my heart in willing surrender. I reach out and take the hand of the one who reaches out to me, recognizing my sinfulness, my utter dependence upon him who became the way for my restoration and reconciliation with the Father, the Creator. And I allow him to carry me to the Father. I need to tell you that I know that I will be a sinner more or less for the rest of my days. Such is the human nature. However, and here is an important truth, it does not mean that I simply let be, that I continue in my sin as though it matters not. God forbid that I should treat the gift of life through Christ's sacrifice with such flippancy. No, I should endeavor with all of my being, to live a life of sanctification, that is, being made clean, to be made holy. I should seek with all my heart to love him who first loved me. I should set forth an example of a redeemed life to the very best of my ability in the power of God's Spirit at work within me. As the Apostle Paul said, but for that very reason, I receive mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience. Thank you, Lord. Making me an example to those who come to believe in him for eternal life. I should seek no reward, but to do the will of the Father and bring him glory. For he alone is worthy. I say along with Paul, to the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. I need help. I need help to live in faithful obedience to Jesus Christ. That is why I need you. That is why I need the church. I need the body of Christ to nurture me, to guide me, and to embrace me even in my sinful state. But no, not to sympathize or console me in it. No. I need you to speak a word of rebuke or correction at times. Yes, I need to hear those words of rebuke spoken in love, so that I might grow in holiness and righteousness and become all that God desires me to be. I ask this of you, not because my salvation is dependent upon it, as if my goodness and my works alone is enough, but because my heart desires to respond to what God has done in Christ for me. What other response can there be? Surely nothing less will do. Finally, brothers and sisters, I believe these words are not just for me. They are for you. They are for you. God loves you in ways that you cannot even really begin to imagine. Yes, even you, the perpetual sinner. God loves you. God's heart is that you live in relationship with him through his Son and our Savior, Jesus. He wants you to come home. He wants to reach out and pick you up as a shepherd rescues a lamb from the precipice and hold you tightly in his loving, gentle arms. He wants to return you to the fold, to the safety and the security of the kingdom. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Where are you, my friends, in all of this? Do you recognize your sin, that which separates you from God? Do you see your need of a Savior? Do you understand that striving, that seeking to be good enough, will never cut it? Do you catch even the tiniest glimpse of the Father's love for you? Oh, I pray that you do. Furthermore, I pray that you will reach out your hand to Jesus, who even now reaches out to lift you up as a shepherd places a lamb across its shoulders and carries it home. If you have not done that, will you do that today? Will you do it now? Even just one person. Heaven's going to go wild with celebration with just one person. Give them a reason to rejoice today. and we will rejoice with them. I don't know your heart. I'm not sure where you are with God. You know. God knows. And maybe today, for the first time or as a recommitment, you want to say, God, thank you for rescuing me in Jesus. I recognize my sinfulness and I want to respond to that, to your grace, to your love and your mercy. I want to stand up and be counted afresh today or for the first time. You know, God knows your heart. We're going to join together in song. And I want to give the opportunity this morning. I know most of you are here every week. And some of you may feel, this is not for me. But perhaps there is just one person who today says, I want to respond. I'm a sinner in need of God's grace. I recognize that. And I want to commit for the first time or recommit to being the one who sets the party going in heaven.